And so they basically were like, you're banned from the library. You're banned. They forced me to go out and actually talk to other people, which was so scary. I thought I was going to shrivel up and die that first day. I just wanted to disappear. And because I was put in such a tense position, when I graduated from eighth grade, I was voted class bookworm. No surprise there. But then when I graduated from high school, they voted me class clown. So being forced out of my comfort zone where I was hiding, I fully admit I was hiding from everyone else, from the world, but being forced to talk to other people allowed me to find this other part of myself that I didn't know existed.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today and going, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers, y'all. That's right indeed, because we got a bookcaster in the building, y'all. That's right indeed. Not only is she got past the first requirement, she also has a cherry on top with all the icing on a metaphorical cupcake because she's a fellow podcast host. And that means she freaking gets it, y'all. She freaking gets it. That means I don't have to give her the five-hour explanation of what the heck happens here that involves a left turn at Albuquerque and some random cheese that isn't even from Green Bay, because today's wonderful guest, indeed, this wonderful lady right here, she's a screenwriter, producer, and a panther. Ha! Lord, I know I could pronounce today. A panatheist. I still probably butcher that anyway. So let's give it up for the kind and radiant Kirsten Rudberg. How you doing today, Kirsten?
I'm so good. And you know what? It's you tried, okay? So that's, you can A for effort. 100%.
It sucks. I went on Google and looked it up too. I'm like, yeah, let me, okay, I think I heard it. There's a P, there's a panatheist. Yeah, frying pan, yes, I think that'll work. Nope. Record button things sometimes go left field, you know.
I accept every direction you go. Nothing you is that dangerous? That might be dangerous, but I'm along for the ride.
Well, that pretty smile of yours, I think all directions with you is a good direction. And it all leads north. That's the good news here. Woo! Right, D. That's right, D. Well, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 55 days long. And I probably forgot, I don't know, 55 years worth of content. So, am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you, Kristen? I mean, Kirsten.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, no. I accept whatever you want to call me. Let's see. I don't know. I went to seminary. I have a master's of divinity. I went to Iliff School of Theology, which is a pretty liberal school. But I graduated in the middle of the pandemic. And that's how I started my podcast, actually. When you graduate from seminary and you're in the middle of a pandemic, you will imagine there's no jobs. So basically, I was sitting around wondering what I was going to do with my life at this ripe old age and thought, you know, why not start a podcast? Which is crazy because I had no idea what I was doing. None. The first episode took 25 hours to produce. Now I'm down to two or three. But it's the learning curve was steep, let's just say. And, you know, I'm an author. I love writing. I'm rewriting the Peter Rabbit book series. It's really fun. I'm having a good time with it. I'm debuting my third book at George R. R. Martin's bookstore in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I love writing. I've been writing since I was a kid. It's just a chance for me to play and get in this sandbox and just pretend like I'm 10 years old again. Because, you know, I'm sure as you can imagine, writing and your imagination can run wild, and you can create worlds that you want, you can create characters that you want. And it's a really great way for me to disengage from the everyday and just play.
Yeah, that's right indeed. So, did you get bunny ears for the occasion of rewriting Peter Rabbit?
No, but I should. I should get bunny ears. I should. That's actually a great idea. I do have cat whiskers and cat ears, but that's from a Halloween from oh so long ago. But the bunny ears, that's a great idea. Thank you. Thank you. I'll make sure to wear a big sign that says courtesy of you so everyone knows where the inspiration came from.
There we go. I'm glad the mind control's working. She's hopping to it. I love it. It's right indeed.
Oh no. Oh dear.
There you go. That's right. Then deer antlers are next. Nice. She's gonna the system somehow, Alice.
Oh, he's on a roll. He's on a roll.
That's right. Hot dogs. I'm on a roll. That's right indeed. Well, before the egg joins in the conversation, my goodness. So what led you to actually, it's actually really great that you're actually able to get your Master Divinity, especially during the not so wonderful, semi-wonderful pandemic, and you're actually a clergy member to this day. So what inspired you to get your Master of Divinity?
Well, you know, my whole life, I have loved reading stories of myths and fables from all over the world. I'm just drawn to it. And I grew up overseas when I was a kid in South America and then in Pakistan over there. And then as a consequence, you know, traveled everywhere else because we had to travel other places. So Kashmir, the Maldives, Bangkok, Thailand, Bangladesh. I mean, I've been so many different places. And when you go to these places, I really got to see what other cultures and other ways of being and other religious worship looked like. And I've always been drawn to how humans create meaning in their life or how they just create something that feeds their soul, their heart. And a lot of times, for a lot of communities, it's a church or a synagogue or some other space where they can come together as one and speak with a higher power. And that goes right into myths and fables and stories that humans tell each other. So I saw the Masters of Divinity just coming from that. I was excited. I took, you know, a class on Buddhism. I took Intro to Islam. I took so many. The best class I've told everyone is God and Tupac Shakur. It was amazing. It
Yeah.
was one of the most fabulous and fascinating classes I've ever learned anything in. And I just was challenged every step of the way to think outside the box. And that's what I think I really appreciated about it. I got to just learn. I love learning. Okay. You have to know I'm addicted to learning. So this was, you know, I'd be in school for the rest of my life if I could afford it, that is. But yeah. That's a whole other conversation.
Yep, that's right indeed. The real inflation before the after pandemic inflation, right? Yeah, let's
Yeah. Yeah.
some steroids into this tuition here, even though YouTube and everything else is out there. But hey, we still got the power. We can make it official here. Our receipts, I mean, degrees are official, dang gummit. We still have the power.
It's totally true. Yeah. One, absolutely. You will have no argument from me. I wish more, it was more affordable for more people. We need more people, you know, going to college, let alone graduate school. I mean, I wish everyone that desired to go to higher learning was able to do so and not have to worry about the cost. We need more people going to school just because it's fun to learn about things. At least I think so.
Yeah, right about that indeed. Because hey, it keeps your brain young, especially when you're excited to learn things, and then even better when you get to apply them to your own life indeed. So what led to all those travels as a younger version of the Special K yourself? Was your dad a missionary or in the service?
Oh gosh, No, he actually worked for a company out of Chicago that built massive, massive third world country projects. So they would get called in to build hydroelectric dams and irrigation systems for developing countries. The countries were really trying to leverage their water power, their rivers, to electrify the rest of the country, to provide electricity to large swaths of the country. And so we would live in these different places while the project was underway and the dam was being built. And everyone, when I was a kid, they'd say, "What does your dad do?" And I had no clue because it was so weird. And I'd say, "He works for a dam company." And they'd think, "Wow, she's really mad about that." I'm like, wait, he does though.
the beavers are happy there too.
Yes. You're fun.
What can I say? When buns appear, the fun has to be on top of it, am I right?
Yes. Yes.
That's right indeed. I'm sure there was a person in the company named Beaver, and they left it all to him, or at least most of
I hope so.
it.
This
My
interview is
good.
just going to be one long laugh fest. I love it.
Usually most of them anyway. It's like, yep, get them out of their wonderful box of boredom and sadness and humdrum and clear eyes and gray outfits all the time. Like,
Yes.
that's the glitter. Where's the glitter? The very, very pretty glitter.
The world needs more glitter, I think.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. And a free vacuum for everyone who accepts the glitter. Sorry. I guess I'll be able to clean up later.
That's true. That's true. And double-sided tape for those hard-to-reach places.
Oh heck yeah. See? Oh, there you go. That's an expert right there. She mentioned the double-sided tape. It's over. It's over. That's right indeed. There you go. It's over. It's like one of those martial arts moves where out of nowhere, where it's like, all right, we're gonna give you this demonstration, and then demonstration's instantly over. It's like, what happened? Like, hey, it was a master. I can't actually photograph this work here. It's double-sided tape here. Oh man. So my goodness, I finally made your way back to the good old US of A, and I guessing what, late high school, and then what's a Did you went to college for screenwriting eventually too?
No, I went to school for, because honestly, I don't know if you had this experience, and my parents didn't mean anything negative by it, but any sort of creative pursuit like art or writing wasn't considered legitimate. And so, as I got older and was looking for college and for schools, that was never even, they would have laughed at me and said no. So I went for English and speech communications. I went and got a master's or majored in English because I loved reading. I'm a voracious reader. I even got kicked out of the library in junior high because I read too much. But I thought I don't know what I want to do with my life. I have no clue. So I love to read. I'll major in English. And then I majored in speech communications because I didn't want to leave school because it was so fun. So I stayed an extra semester so I didn't have to leave. So yeah, I have no formal training in writing. It's just something that I'm lucky that I love to do. I don't do it all the time, but when I do do it, it makes me so happy. It makes my heart so happy.
Yeah, we like it indeed. All right, cool. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And then, I guess then. So what else got you into screenwriting if it wasn't that at first? It's just the parents were like,
Oh.
no, you must do something else, buddy.
Well, typically with my writing, I have an idea that just like sits on my shoulders and kind of nags at me because I'm lazy. and I take forever. And I love writing conversations and stories. I love writing all sorts of different things. And so I had this idea. One of the chefs at the place I worked, he sold used cars as well as chefing. And one day he made this massive noodle dish for everybody back in the kitchen. And he ate too much and he came out and he looked like he was going to explode. His belly was like, I've never seen anything like it. And I just thought of this, I came up with this title. So what I typically do is I come up with the title and then I write. So I've written a series called Poncho in the Car with Noodles. And I never know what the story is going to be about. I just start writing. And so it's a 14 episode show. Each episode is 9 to 11 minutes long. I like writing short bites. Like for example, my animated series on YouTube called Murder of Two, which is about two crows that sit on a line and look down at the world, observe humanity. Each one is like maybe 2 minutes long, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I really like the shorter form. I never know how anything's going to go. I just write and hope I end up somewhere. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And I did study, you know, online. There are a wealth of sites and information about any kind of writing. You know, anything you want, there's someone out there who will give you the knowledge for free. I did take two classes at Second City Chicago online, and they teach screenwriting. So I got those two classes under my belt, and then I was off to the races. It was great getting feedback, but I'll tell you what was the most eye-opening thing for me. People paid a lot of money for these screenwriting classes. In both classes, I was the only one that finished the 10-week course. And the last 4 or 5 weeks, I was pretty much alone with the teacher because people weren't submitting. They just all stopped and either gave up or weren't interested anymore. And someone said to me, you know what? That's the key. Most people start things and they don't finish them, but you finish. And that's why you're going to be successful. And I think you can say that with most things in this world, especially creative endeavors, right? You know, as a writer, you got to finish. There has to be a finish. You've got to maintain, keep going, even when it's hard, when it's challenging, when even you're bored with what you're saying. You've got to get to that finish line and cross it.
Cross indeed. That's right indeed. When you come across the finish line, you got to run across it, y'all. Don't just stop and look at it and then set up camp and then pour out some tea. It's like, no. You gotta finish.
I like the finish lines where they hand you like a donut and a coffee when you're done. Those are my favorite.
There you go. There you go. So you're saying folks should dunk into the finish line?
Oh. You're so far ahead of me on this podcast. I'm like just trying to catch up.
We're both on the same wavelength. I see you. She's trying to catch up. That's what I'm talking about. That's also a sign of passion, too, since you decided to say, hey, I paid for this darn class. I'm going to freaking finish it, too, on top of it, too. So, my goodness. So, what keeps your mind creative?
Oh, that's such a great question. I mean, so here's part of it. So when I got kicked out of the library in eighth grade, it was because in seventh grade, they had a reading competition and I read 90 books that year and won first place. The second year, I read 120 books in the junior high library and won first place again. Nobody else cared about reading as much as me, but the guidance counselor, you know, unbeknownst to me, I got pulled out of chemistry class. I walk into her office. My parents are there. I had no idea this was going to happen. And the guidance counselor said, your daughter's learning no social skills. She's in the library all the time, even right after lunch. She needs to learn how to talk to other people. And so they basically were like, you're banned from the library. You're banned. And all that to say that what helps me, first of all, reading all those books was essential to seeing how so many other people write, how people come up with ideas, what's possible in the world as far as creative effort. But then they forced me to go out and actually talk to other people, which was so scary. I thought I was going to shrivel up and die that first day. I just wanted to disappear. And because I was put in such a tense position, when I graduated from eighth grade, I was voted class bookworm, no surprise there. But then when I graduated from high school, they voted me class clown. And so being forced out of my comfort zone where I was hiding, I fully admit I was hiding from everyone else, from the world, but being forced to talk to other people allowed me to find this other part of myself that I didn't know existed. And it changed everything for me. So then I understood how even chance meetings with strangers or friendships, you can write about those things. The world just opened up for me. So I use everything from conversations with people to, you know, I protect everyone's privacy, but it's like basically the world's my oyster. Anything in the world. Like there's so much to write out and so much to engage with. I just take it all in.
Ah, so that's what really happened. I don't know why I got kicked out the library. They couldn't afford to buy no more books. You read all of them.
It's true.
It's like, yeah, we'll say it's a social skills. It's like, yeah, she's scared and all, but hey, we really can't afford to buy no more books here, so we're gonna kick her out. Yeah, that'll
true.
Work.
True. Yeah.
It's like on one hand, I get the reasoning. On the other hand, it's like, really? You're going to ban somebody from using the library, though?
Yeah.
I mean, smoking in the library or something else, sure, but you're reading too much, buddy. Get the hell out of here.
I know. It's so strange. Like, my father still apologizes to me. He brings it up every once in a while, and he says, I can't believe we kicked you out of the library. And I thought, oh, my God, Dad, that happened so long ago. But he just can't forgive himself. It's just like this thing. So, yeah, I was not happy about it for, like, a very long time. I was so angry, and I didn't understand it. But after it helped me to cultivate other, you know, kind of strengths that I didn't know I had, I understood the motivation. So, yes, I might be your only guest that got banned from library, potentially, for reading too much.
That's like the first I've ever heard of that one. That's freaking hilarious. It's like, yep, reading too much, buddy. That could have been freaking news. Like, yep. It's such an oxymoron. Get the freaking American Library Association involved. Be like, hey, we're introverts here. We're going to extrovert for this one. Let that child read.
That could be a whole show, I swear. You know? Now that I think about it.
There you go. The library's gone bad. Like, what did they do? Did they finally take over the world from all of them books? No, they banned kids and adults from reading. Wait, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that why they're there? Yes, but they're doing it in reverse. They have drank the evil tea. They found the wonderful fusion tea. That's right. It's a tea that makes them evil. Yeah. And now they're no longer tea-rific. They're just tea-arable.
Ooh. You got to be careful of that tea. Be very careful.
Yeah, especially when it's on a t-shirt, you wear it out, right?
Oh my God, I can't keep up with you. I love it.
The library's gone rogue. You love to see it. Oh, man. Well, the good news is, not only did you read some magical books and put some magical content online from screenwriting, you decided to join the business of immortality by rewriting the Peter Rabbit series. So why the Peter Rabbit series? Why not a memoir or maybe some self-help or maybe even a novel?
Gosh, that's a great question. So I have, of course, various other things that I've been writing that I'm not, I have a novel I've started. It is difficult and challenging for me. I do finish things, but it takes me a while because I get grabbed by other ideas and other things. And so then I have to circle back around and come back. But Peter Rabbit was on my mind for about 10 years, and I didn't know what it was going to look like. And it really took some time for me to figure out I had to give myself permission to rewrite it because it's such an iconic series. It terrified me to kind of rewrite it, but it is dark. It's a lot darker And Beatrix Potter was subversive, but mine are really subversive. For example, the first book is called A Tale of Two Rabbits, and it's a rewrite of Peter Rabbit, and it has a skinned rabbit on the cover. And that kind of just allows you to understand that you're entering a world that's going to be different than the original world. But I really wanted to use the series to engage with what's going on in the world today, from human trafficking to sweatshops to environmental degradation to, I mean, every kind of social and cultural ill. I wanted to use those time-honored and loved characters. I put my own spin on it. The second book is the rewrite of Squirrel Nutkin. It's a little lighter. It's called The Nuts Guts. And this third book that's coming out, it's a rewrite of The Tailor of Gloucester. It's called Boom Chicka Meow Meow. And it's about sweatshops. But they're all going to, it's going to be a 13 book series. At the end, there's going to be a little bit of a sci-fi fantasy kind of ending. But right now I'm just world building and introducing you to the characters. But yeah, I just want to get it out of me. I don't know if you experience that as a writer. Sometimes you have something that just sits on top of you like an idea, and it's just better out than in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's a desire for good old perfection, even though it doesn't exist.
Maybe.
Yeah, going through that now myself with my third solo book about podcasting. It was an elephant at first, and I'm like, okay, all right, I'm not going to do the whole elephant. Let's trim it down to one topic subject here. All right, made progress. It'll be out eventually. It'll be out in 2023. And then 2024 appears. It's like, oh, all right. Well, hopefully it'll show up. And it will.
God. It's big work. It's big work. Honestly. I mean, my books are super short, but what you're doing is huge. Huge. Putting together something that's going to help other people, that's understandable, cohesive, so that many different levels of intelligence can access what you're providing. It's big what you're doing. So yeah, I believe it's going to take a little longer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the camel hump is the size of the Great Wall of China in this case. That's a huge hump. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. Funny enough, I guess, will there be a Paul Rabbit too, since we had to rob Peter to pay Paul in this case?
Ooh, there should be. Actually, someone else asked me, oh my gosh, are you going to do a Peter Rabbit in space? And I thought, what? I hadn't even thought of that. What? So that's a whole other series, I think, or something. I have to figure that out. But I love where people's minds go. So many people are so creative and intelligent. It's really fun, you know, bouncing ideas off people and hearing what they have to say. So yeah, maybe Peter Rabbit in space.
Heck yeah, indeed. That's right, indeed. You know, hop on Mars and be like, oh, nope, there's women here too. They lied.
And cheese. Lots of cheese.
There you go. That's right. I had to cheese it from the earth and only to find cheese on freaking Mars, baby. That's right. Well, such a fellow podcast, I have to always ask one of those obligatory questions. So, since you've been running your podcast for a bit, or should I say for a bite, what should you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, running, and growing a magical show?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think the first thing is don't be too hard on yourself when you start out, because the learning curve is steep. It's, you know, there's so many platforms these days. There's so many ways to do so much, from microphones to headphones to recording options. I mean, there's just so much. So be patient with yourself and learn as much as you can. I kind of started it in a rush on the fly and learned a lot because I made a bunch of mistakes. The second one is, you know, it's fascinating. I belong to these Facebook podcasting groups, and people are always messaging, when am I going to start making money from this? It seems like people, I don't know what they're thinking, but they're like, I'm going to get rich. And there's like 5 million podcasts now. So you're lucky if you get anything listened to, let alone make money. I mean, come on. So people always say, look, don't start a podcast. Don't even attempt to start a podcast unless you love what you're doing. You love what you're listening to. You love what you're creating, because guess what? You're not going to make any money. And so, you know, I just so happen to love what I'm doing. I love the idea. I love the stories I'm hearing. I love meeting new people. So for me, that's important, like loving what I'm doing. And the third thing is, you know, if you make a mistake, which there will be many, I'm still making mistakes, just let it go. We're all human. Nobody's going to remember it ever, because they're trying to just live their own lives and survive at this point. So you know what? Make mistakes. It's good. It's good to make mistakes. So those are the three things I'd have to say. Yeah.
Okay, indeed. You're so darn right. It's okay to make mistakes. That's right. Especially if you're in it for the long haul. It's a growth process. Growing pains is a real thing. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Especially if you're trying to make money out the gate for, like, Lord. It's like, dude, just because Joe Rogan made freaking, I think it was, what, nine figures, just for Spotify a couple years ago, doesn't mean everybody's going to get a shot at it.
Right.
They're like, hey, wait, this guy made how much? Let me try this. It's like, oh, this is a lot of work. Yeah, yeah, I can sympathize with your experience of the, what was it, 22, 24 hours? Putting everything together, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a labor of love. It's like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You think it's all fun and games.
Oh, yeah. Some days it's a labor of whining. You know, I still get it done. Like, I still show up every week, sometimes twice a week, and I do it because I've made that commitment and I'm following through. But it's not all rainbows and puppy dogs. I mean, I whine a lot. There's so much whining. So just know that there will be whining if you keep going.
Yeah, indeed. That's right. And if you're a wine drinker, then you'll drink the wine after whining. Or some folks in reverse. They drink wine, then they whine.
I feel like I'm your straight man. I feel like I'm your straight man. I kind of like it.
That's good. That's right. Straight with all the curves. You love to see it. That's right.
That's indeed. Right.
That's right, indeed. That's right. Curves is where the happiness is. That's right, indeed.
Yes. True story.
That's right, indeed. Well, speaking of C, you're a clergy member. So my goodness, how's clergy life for you at the moment? Are you an assistant pastor of the church, a pastor?
No, I mean, it was really interesting watching, because my internship for seminary was with this group in Santa Fe called the Interfaith Leadership Alliance, which was a collection of 33 different faith organizations down there in Santa Fe. Watching them pivot or not pivot when the pandemic started was painful and horrifying, frankly. And as you can imagine, everything's changed in that landscape. Now, I'm a panentheist, which means I don't belong to any faith tradition, and I'm ordained in the Church of Universal Interfaith. My life right now is not geared towards me joining any sort of church. It's kind of up in the air right now, and I really want to wait till I'm settled before I join a faith organization, kind of check them out, see if there's something that I'm really interested in. So right now, I am a clergy person without a church or any sort of community, which is fine with me. I mean, I see the podcast right now as a little bit like my podium, bringing lots of different people together to share their stories. And for me, that's fine. I don't know if a church, if I got interviewed for a church and they looked at my Peter Rabbit books, they might be concerned. They might say, this one over here is a little, like... Interview her 20 times to make sure she's normal.
You'd be like, don't worry, guys. I got a Paul Rabbit book right here. I don't know about his letters.
Yes.
That's right, indeed. Some go to Corinth, some go to Applebee's, you know?
Applebee's is delicious.
Because that's what a bee's like.
Oh,
Yeah, I told you it's a danger zone. Yeah, that's right indeed. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a podcast interview. It's like, nope. The bear with the yoga pants showed up, y'all. The real Yogi Bear. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, since you're my kind of people, a bookcaster not only guests on podcasts, but also hosts a magical show, you probably answered a whole bunch of magical questions. So, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
Oh gosh. I guess I don't know. I don't think you've asked me this, but just maybe you already have, or I've talked about it, but how did living overseas change your life as a kid? Because I do think that it has made all the difference with everything. When you're that young and you get exposed to so much and you meet people from all over, because I've said before, I went to school at a an American school, quote unquote, but I went to school with kids from Vietnam, Germany, Pakistan, everywhere you can imagine. And when you're a kid and you get to play with everyone and you're playing soccer, you're going to class, you're learning so much, you're swimming, you kind of think the whole world is like this. Like everywhere you go, everyone's going to like each other, no matter what their skin color is or what faith they worship. And the worst time of my life was when my parents brought me back to the States, to Illinois, because all of a sudden I was in the middle of Illinois and everyone was white. And what you wore to school was important. Jordache jeans, what you brought to lunch was important. Velveeta cheese slices, every part of your life was measured. And I realized in seminary that I needed therapy for that time in my life, because it was my first great heartbreak. Because I was in a place where all the rules had changed. People weren't friendly. You were judged through all these weird, arbitrary ways. And it broke my heart as a kid. But, I had been given a glimpse of what could be before that, when you're just glad to have someone in the sandbox with you playing and having fun with you. Who cares what color their skin is? Who cares, where they grew up? Who cares about that? You want to have fun playing together and building something and just having a good time. And so that's probably the question. That, I mean, that growing up overseas changed my entire life. Entire life. So yeah.
Definitely can sympathize with that for you. Yeah, it can definitely suck growing up as a kid where they scrutinize your things like, yeah, you ain't wearing brand name clothes, buddy. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why don't you wear your brand name clothes, buddy? And then when you grow up, you realize that crap is so meaningless. No one gives a crap. It's like, dude, does it fit? Is it comfortable? And is it clean? Like,
Oh,
is
yeah.
that's the real thing that matters? Like, shoot, brand name, F all that nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think as an adult, you kind of look back and you're like, wow, that was exhausting. I mean, it just takes so much mental, emotional, just energy to kind of worry and fret about those things. And then you get older and you're like, ugh, I just want to like have fun, or I just want to get through the day, or I just want to pay my rent. And hopefully those things fall away, like what you look like and what you wear and how much money you can spend on something. I mean, I'm here for the friendship. I'm here for getting to know people and making more friends. I mean, that's kind of why I do the podcast. I am a glutton for other humans. I love their stories and I love learning what makes them tick.
That's good. That means I get to join the Kirsten bubble. Hooray. That's right
The
indeed.
bubble. Yes.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. When she floats another place, I get to chill inside. Be like, yeah, how's it going? We're gonna meet some more humans. She's a glutton for humans.
And there will be lots of glitter, by the way. Lots of glitter and double-sided tape. And of course, according to you, vacuums. There will be vacuums everywhere.
Ah, there we go. That's right indeed. That glitter, glitz, and the glam. That's right indeed. All I have to do is just take my microphone with me and put it on my head and call it unicorn training afterwards. That's
Yes.
right. That's right, indeed. Just put it on the head, be like, yeah. Folks be like, why are you holding that microphone at your head? It's my unicorn horn. I'm training to become one. Don't you see all this glitter?
Oh my God.
So I tell them all about Acarus's by Unicorn Trick. It's bite-sized training.
Right.
It's a major blessing. It's a whole bite size. It's like an elephant bite. You need a big one.
That's right. That's right. And we need more unicorns in the world, I feel like.
Yeah, that's right indeed. And then we'll start bringing out the tricorns, and then it'll really be the new unicorn.
Ooh, yes. I like your plan for world domination.
Here we go. Just don't tell anybody. That's right indeed.
Okay, it's secret, a... secret.
Yep, that's right. You're in the right, Victoria. It's a secret, darn it. Don't tell anybody. That's right indeed. If there's an actual listener out there named Victoria, then this is going to be hilarious. But anyway, so one question for you. If your fabulous book, A Tale of Two Rabbits, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, great idea. Great question. Let's see. If Peter Rabbit was a food, what food would it be? I think quiche, because you can throw everything into a quiche. I mean, anything and everything. So you can throw in vegetables, you can throw in bacon and meat, you can throw in different cheeses. It's really the sky is the limit with your own creativity and what you, and of course eggs, but you really are the master of the domain of that quiche. And it can be whatever your guests or you want. It's really the limit of your capacity to imagine. And so, yeah, I'd say Peter Rabbit is that. It's zany, it's fun, it's whatever flavor I'm feeling that day, and it's easy. You throw it in the oven, it bakes, and it's ready to eat.
Yeah, that's right indeed, that's right indeed. You heard that right, folks. Kirsten has a head on straight, y'all. That's right indeed. So if an actual interview pops up, she didn't say rabbit stew, so that means her head is on straight, y'all. That's right indeed. Her head is on straight. That's right indeed.
Thank goodness.
That's right, because mom was south for that one moment. I'm like, hey, wait a second. Oh, man, yeah, rabbits do. Yeah, she says that one. I'm like, oh, it's game over.
Game over.
There you go. It's Keisha Stead. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Might as well wolf afterwards. You can be a cute dog after eating the quiche. That's right. That's right.
I love, my favorite part of the show is that you crack yourself up. It's like my favorite. I love that. Makes me so happy.
Hey, I'm freaking hilarious. It's like, hey, if you don't catch it now, they'll catch it later.
Yeah.
Even if it takes for 7 days. It does happen, believe it or not. They're like, what the heck? What does he mean he has hostages for? Then they see that episode of Futurama, like months later. It's like, hey, that was what Dom was talking about. I'm like, why is he talking about random hostages?
Oh my gosh. I love that show so much. Ugh. So good. Such a good show. My favorite episode, which is such a tearjerker and haunting, is the one with the dog. When the dog waits outside that store for him and he like travels through time. Do you remember that one? Oh, it was so intense. Man. I mean, it's like a comedy, but that episode was devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, they always hit you with those curveballs every now and then.
Yes. Yes. But I love curveballs. They keep things interesting.
Heck yeah. That's right indeed. That's right. Gonna kind of need them out in this world today. I need that courage. That's right indeed. That curvy courage. Yep.
Yeah. Agreed.
There you go. That's right. Curveballs, the real courage you need, y'all. That's right indeed. Well, coming to answer the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh gosh, that's actually a fascinating question because the world has changed so much since I was 25. And in some ways that are really challenging for young people that aren't good for mental health, that aren't good for emotional health. And so what I would say is I would hug my 25-year-old self and just say, baby, it's going to be all right. Because I think we all need to hear that every once in a while. We need to have someone tell us that everything is transitory. You know, what someone says about you one week is not going to be the same as the next month. And that really we each get to define our lives and ourselves and who we are as time goes on. Hopefully, you know, under our own rules. Sometimes it's not under our own rules, but really, I think that everything's going to be okay.
Be okay, y'all. Sorry, indeed. Sorry, just pull out the cereal. It'll be okay. It'll be especially okay, y'all. Sorry, indeed. Just hug yourself and be like, yes, I am fabulous and I can do it. Sorry, indeed. That's right. You won't even need Nikes. That's right. Won't even need a wig for the hair to make it a do. That's right. That's right. Just do it. Yeah, especially when the Mountain Dew appears and then the Morning Dew. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. And then a random Bengal tiger with the wig shows up. It'll be can do. That's right. It'll be a hairdo on the tiger. Yep. And then you put a crown on yourself and be like, yep, I'm the real Tiger Kingdom.
Oh, I love this.
Yep, that's right, Dave. Well, I know another thing the folks can do, and that's follow you and all the wonderful things you got going on. Because the good news is you're just getting started. So for those who need to keep the magical Kirsten in their magical lives and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, my website, bitesizedblessings.com, you can get a lot more information about the podcast and all the writing. My Murder of Two Animated series is on there. But to buy my books, go to George R. R. Martin's bookstore, Beastly Books. And they've got all the books up there. And you can just order and have them shipped to you. So yeah, that's it. I'm simple. I'm simple.
Woohoo! Simple, sweet, and stupendous, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Sensation. That's right indeed. All the positive S adjectives, y'all. That's right indeed. So that right, folks, gonna put a link to all of her magical goodies in the show notes. That way you can head over to her wonderful website, subscribe to her magical show, and keep up with all the things that she's doing because she's just getting started indeed, y'all. So follow her in all the things she's doing because it's good stuff indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. But before another rabbit hole appears, which is kind of a pun for this time of actually mentioning it during an episode, any parting words before we close up shop?
Oh my gosh, I wish I was that wise, but I'm not. I'm totally sloppy and messy. So I guess I would just say I've loved every minute of this. You're hilarious and you just bring so much joy. I can just tell, probably in your every day-to-day life. And I've loved this conversation.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep listening.